Let's be honest, surveys aren't cutting it anymore. Response rates are low, focus groups take weeks, and at the end of it all, you still don't know how people really feel. Talkalytics changes that. Talkalytics is a voice-based feedback platform that captures what your customers are saying and how they're saying it. Tone, emotion, sentiment, the stuff that actually drives decisions. Whether you're testing brand messaging, creative, product concepts, or just want to know if your campaign is hitting the mark, Talkalytics gives you answers that go way beyond the checkbox. Emotionally connected customers spend twice as much. If you want to create real connection, it starts by listening differently. Head to talkalytics.com/getinsights to see how it works. That's talkalytics.com/getinsights. Talkalytics, because the voice always tells you more. Listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded live at Advertising Week Europe 2025 in London, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technology communities. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, left a positive review, or shared with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening. You are listening to the AW360 podcast, where we're recording live from Advertising Week Europe 2025 here at 180 Studios in London. I'm joined now by Charlotte Hamill, COO of Born Social. Charlotte, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm quite good. Quite good. We're kind of coming to the end of this thing, and I'm still standing, so that's a good sign.
Great, I'll bring some energy.
Thank you. To help us get started, tell me a bit about Born Social.
Born Social, we are a social-first creative agency, really helping brands harness the chaos of social to build their brands through cultural relevance. We started in 2012, and we're now a team of 200 people across London and New York now, and we've also been part of Crowd since 2022.
Well, that's a lot of growth in what's really not that long of amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 13 years. If you really, you know, you were there at the beginning of the social game. It's felt very fast in some respects, but it's also felt like quite a long time in others because the scene has changed massively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's quite the understatement. You helped lead Born Social to B Corp status and Agency of the Year. How do you balance doing good with doing great work? And why do you think those two things actually go hand in hand?
Yeah, it's a good question because in lots of ways, it doesn't necessarily feel like a balance. I think the longer we've run the business, the more we've realized it kind of feels like a necessity. So we are lucky to work with an amazing portfolio of clients. We work with Smirnoff, Barclays, Asda, Ferrero, Ford, Guinness. You know, they are all brands that really, really champion and want to see consciousness around sustainability and impact from their partners. And I think as we've matured as an agency, kind of that's naturally been part of our agenda as well. So I now don't think you can scale to be a really successful agency without having sustainability and a strong sustainability agenda in your culture and at the core of your proposition.
You know, we're seeing a shift from surface level purpose campaigns to brands building real cultural momentum. And I, for one, am incredibly happy to see that. What does it take to actually embed sustainability and values into the everyday way a brand operates?
Yeah, I think, I've heard a couple of your podcast guests this week talk about it. Says, I think it has to start from a very kind of core value place. It has to be authentic because I think where we see purpose-led campaigns kind of fall a bit flat is where a brand is trying to play in an arena that's like not really their space to play. Whereas actually, if it's really kind of relevant to their audiences, their consumers, their customers, their products, then I think kind of not only can a real genuine impact be made, audiences buy it and believe it and support it in a much richer sense. So I think recent examples that we've been working on from a client perspective, you know, Guinness have just launched the first and sponsoring the first female boot as part of the Women's Six Nations. You know, Primark have launched an amazing adaptive wear collection, and their campaign has been really well received because it's about, you know, accessible products for the British customer. Mm-hmm. So I think, and also Ford Park the Car is another campaign. It's a great example. You know, they promote cars, they are selling cars, but they are also pushing the agenda to park the car and walk, choose sustainable options. You know, electric cars aren't the only sustainable option. You've got, you know, you can walk too. So I think these are all really good examples of where they are relevant causes and they are relevant messages. And that's when consumers kind of adopt them much more effectively.
You're now shaping social and environmental strategy at scale with the Crowd Group. What changes when you take these ideas from an agency to an entire network like that?
Yeah, I think it was certainly, any business that has been part of the B Corp journey knows that it's not an easy process to go through. So I'm grateful that we started it, you know, in 2020, 2019 was when we started our journey. So it was certainly easier to do with a business of, 70, 75 people. We're looking at the challenge of doing it with a global business that is nearly 700 people. So it's definitely a bigger exercise.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, the principles remain the same. It's taking really good control of your suppliers. It is really looking at the initiatives that exist within your business. And I think we're lucky that we've had a really positive integration process into Crowd. So a lot of the integration work that we've done over the last 2 years is sharing our scheme. So today, for example, this week even, we have both had historic trainee schemes where we are trying to really nurture grassroots talent in our industry. We kind of combine those forces and co-launch them together to really kind of encourage underrepresented talent into our industries together. So I think really staying core to the principles of sustainability, it's about like really just like good business practice. And if you've got those schemes in place, it's actually easier to kind of scale them up than invent them for the first time.
When thinking about culture being a driver of performance, can you share what that looks like on the inside? How do you build a team culture that supports both creativity as well as impact?
Yeah, this is something that has been so important to me personally in my career. I think from quite early on in Bourne, we realized having a clear cultural strategy or a clear culture was a good strategy. If you want high performance in your business, you really need to make sure that you're creating the environment where you can get the best out of your team. Like almost look at your team as though they're athletes. You know, if they've not got the right conditions, they can't perform. And at Bourne, we've talked about being the home of career highlights. And really what that means is it's not just repositioning culture as what the business gets as a result of high performance, but actually how individuals can benefit from that in their careers as well. So, you know, our cultural strategy is really geared towards bringing together incredible talent, brilliant people who are, you know, a joy to collaborate with. They are a diverse team bringing lots of different perspectives into the mix. Importantly, they get to work on great clients, on great briefs, and ultimately kind of produce work that they are really proud of. And if all of that kind of comes together in your cultural strategy and people, and you deliver that for people, naturally you attract kind of top performing talent and retain that top performing talent as well.
I like the analogy of the athlete part of it. It reminds me of the football, the match fitness. This is more like campaign fitness, or what would you call it?
Campaign fitness.
Campaign fitness. That's great. I love that. For brand marketers who want to avoid purpose washing but still show up in the sustainability space, what's one piece of advice you would give them to keep it real and probably just as important, effective?
Yeah, do you know what? It's really interesting. I think we are seeing almost less brands engage in the sustainability conversation. Like greenwashing is real. They are really, really afraid of greenwashing. And I'm worried about that because we need, as advertisers, we need to be able to promote sustainable messaging to change behaviors for the positive. So I think it's a real responsibility that agencies and brands have to lean into this conversation and find the place where and the approach that they can take to kind of share the sustainability messaging with their audiences. we work really closely with our clients, and actually often their sustainability teams or their procurement teams, because it's often not marketing, but, you know, marketing is the next chain in events. So kind of going root to cause to be like, what is your agenda? How can we support it? How can we create the briefs that are going to drive this impact forward for you as a brand, and lean into that conversation, and then help get creative with the messaging that can go out. So, you know, I think there are some really good brands doing it. Currys is doing it brilliantly at the moment. I think Currys has got a lot of airtime this week, but particularly on social. You know, we've started talking internally a little bit about green laughing, like introducing humor as a way to kind of land sustainability messaging. It doesn't always have to be. It's a very serious topic, but it doesn't always have to be serious. And in Currys' example is, you know, they're promoting their kind of e-waste trade and the rewards that you can get from that. Similarly, the Trainline Bums on Seats campaign, I think, was a really strong example of this. So I think it's agencies and brands need to come together to kind of find the right tone, the right messaging. It doesn't always have to be really heavy messaging, but really just trying to weave in that sustainability agenda where it can be, I think is where we all need to be trying to start.
It's interesting you bring that up. I really hadn't thought about that. With so much in the way of, you know, the advertising we see day in and day out, humor is the thing that everyone seems to go to or lead with, for better or for worse. But when it comes to sustainability, I haven't seen a whole lot of humor at all.
Yeah, well, it's quite a heavy topic. And like, in lots of ways, it's really not funny. So I kind of understand it's almost like a bit of a juxtaposition to kind of lean into the humor. But I think we actually see, you know, consumers don't necessarily respond that well to sustainability messaging. I think data suggests that people want to see brands being sustainable, but actually if you put a more sustainable product in front of them, they assume it's not going to be as good quality or it's going to be more expensive. So brands have to be quite clever with how they introduce and talk about sustainability so that the customers respond in the right way. So humor is an interesting tactic, which is why I think it was Johnny White, one of our client services director, wrote a brilliant article about it. So go and have a read of it.
I feel so ahead of the game, because when I see a product that is sustainable, I pretty much by default go to it first.
You're an early adopter.
I am. Yeah. I take no credit for that. That is training that I've received in my household. But no, I'm still doing it. That's got to be worth at least half the battle, right?
It is. Good for you.
Yeah. Charlotte, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today. This was fantastic. If one wanted to find out more about Born Social, where should they go?
Obviously, website, LinkedIn, but I would really recommend our TikTok for a bit of a behind-the-scenes peek of what we're like.
Excellent. That's the first TikTok invite we've had this week, I think.
Well, we're a social fast creator.
That's great.
Yeah, it would probably be alarming if you weren't there, right?
Exactly.
So thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including The Trustmakers, our podcast with the Edelman Trust Institute, now in its fourth season. You'll find all of Advertising Week's podcasts at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.